Game week 33 up next, and with one eye already on next week's double game week, should prove to be a very busy one on the waivers. In this episode, we've got all the usual stuff, fixture chat, feature picks, hidden gems, most hidden gem pick, and a look through the predicted lineups to give you all the info you need to carry on making the moves to crush your draft league. This is episode 169 of the Draft FC Podcast. Welcome back to the Draft FC Podcast, the podcast website and YouTube channel dedicated to all things official draft FPL. My name is Mitch and I'm your host for another game week preview, going over waiver options, hidden gems and general Premier League chat ahead of game week 33. Now, salute to Ollie Watkins straight off the bat. He becomes the first player into the 200 FPL points club with another big game week. That was his seventh double-digit FPL haul of the season, and you wouldn't bet against him adding one or two more before the season finishes. So well done to Watkins, and well done to all of those of you who drafted him on draft day, because he would have come through and I'm no doubt put you well up your league tables. Now, you may have seen a tweet. Myself and the rest of the Draft FC crew were away on a stag weekend for one of our fellow draft managers' upcoming wedding, which was really good. But what it did mean was didn't get to watch a huge amount of the football live, so I've had to catch up on most of the games through highlights and extended highlights. So I feel slightly out of the loop, but I feel much more caught up now. I've gone through all the numbers, looked at all the goals, and I think we've got another good episode coming up. So I'm recording this episode on Wednesday, the 10th of April, so any team news, injury developments or press conference info are up to date as of then, and of course, subject to change. Some of the players I'll be discussing in this episode include Rico Lewis, Leandro Trossard, Ollie McBurnie, plus many more. So let's get straight into it. So let's kick things off with Waiver Watch. We're looking at the players who the top 100 leagues were bringing in and out ahead of game week 32 last week. So the players coming in were Duran for Villa, Mikalenko, Zuma, Godfrey, McGinn, and Michael Olise. Not the most glamorous top waivers in. The players leaving were Iwobi, Kwanzaa, Castagna, Nkunku, Simikas, and Raul Jimenez. So a few players there that you lot were losing patience with, and probably rightly so for a few of those names. So in terms of the fixtures, first thing obviously is that we've got a host of quite contentious and tight European fixtures this week. I'm recording this on Wednesday, so last night we had Arsenal and City playing in two very well contested and really good games in the Champions League. No English clubs playing tonight, but then a whole host playing on Thursday in their respective Europa League and Europa Conference Leagues games. So what that means is there could be quite a lot of change in the predicted lineup, so we'll cover those at the end, but I'll wait and see and reserve judgment on how I think they'll line up once I've seen how they line up in those European games. One other thing just to point out is just to keep an eye on the remaining games in the Premier League and pretty much look at the number of remaining games that the teams have. Someone like Cole Palmer, who is guaranteed to start, still has 8 Premier League games to play, so there's plenty of opportunities for him to score. Compare that to, you know, someone like Mohamed Kudus, for example, for West Ham. West Ham only have 6 games left. So if they were involved in a trade, that's obviously a big change, a big swing in the potential value that Palmer would have versus Kudus would have, considering he's playing a third more games and has a third more potential minutes in which to score. Now, because of the double next week, fixtures are quite high on the agenda. I'm not going to go through every single team, but I've highlighted more than half of the teams here for varying reasons, which I'll go through now. Starting with Villa, obviously chasing Champions League spot in the top 5. They have a fairly uninspiring run in. They have just 6 games to go, including games against Arsenal and Liverpool. Their only decent fixture on paper is probably Bournemouth in game week 34, in a week where most of us will be looking for doublers. Apart from Watkins, the rest could all very much be droppable. Douglas Luiz would have been another one worth keeping, but after he's picked up his 10th yellow card at the weekend, he now misses the next 2. And so he could well have just become a drop. If you've been fortunate enough to have him up to now, then you've probably done far better out of him than you were expecting. And looking at the fixtures and him missing the next 2, I think he probably is a drop for most leagues. Bailey is possibly the only other player I'd consider hanging on to for Villa. also has that ability to be able to score any time. His underlying stats are right up there with the best in the league at 0.67 non-penalty expecting goal involvements per 90, which you know is a stat I like. So yeah, him and Watkins possibly, and Martinez in goal, of course, possibly the only players to consider holding on to. For Arsenal, obviously had that very intense Champions League game against Bayern yesterday, the second leg to come next week. I'm expecting a lot of rotation at the weekend for their game against Villa. Probably a similar team to what we saw them line up against Luton. The only difference being, obviously, Villa are a far more testy opponent than Luton are. As it stands, my predicted lineup has most of the rotation options penciled in, but Arteta may consider it, you know, what one or two changes too many. You know, I've got the likes of Tomiyasu, Thomas Partey, Smith Rowe, Nelson, Trossard, all currently in my predicted 11. That said, that may be one or two changes too far, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. For Bournemouth, definitely time, I think, to get in one or two of the Cherry Boys. They have got United this weekend. That doesn't really put me off. And then they've got a nice double of two away games against Villa and Wolves before a South Coast derby at home to Brighton. They're probably not the absolute top of the list, but I think certainly worth having a few penciled in as your third, fourth choice waivers. For Brentford, they have got six games left, so no double next week. And as the table stands, their remaining league games are against the teams in 20th, 18th, 16th, 13th, 12th, and 8th. So generally, the calibre of opposition they've got left is low. Now, Brentford are obviously themselves not having the best season, but certainly for both attackers and defenders, I think could be enticing over the coming weeks. Again, we're probably not going to be absolutely raving about them because they haven't got the double next week. But yeah, I think there's enough in there, particularly even for the single game weeks, that they could be the kind of player you bring in as a late free agent if you're not entirely happy with your starting lineup. Brighton are on the list for 1 week punts this week. Then we can probably ignore them, and I'll mention a couple of them shortly. Palace, definitely going to be hot property for their double game week 34 games, despite a trip to Anfield this week. A little bit more to come on Palace in a moment too. Everton are another team I think will have some movers and shakers in the waivers this week. And on the back of news, say relatively hot off the press, that Everton are receiving a new 2-point deduction due to previous overspending. Now, the last time a points deduction was handed out to Everton, they went on a 5-game winning run. Since then, things have been very difficult for the Toffees. You know, before their win against Burnley at the weekend, their last victory was way back in game week 17, which was also against Burnley. They are another team with an excellent run in, and even after their double game week 34 pair of home games, they have Brentford at home. So three home games in a row, and then Luton away, Sheffield United at home before a trip to the Emirates at the end. So we could be holding Everton players right up until game week 37. Liverpool, the other team across the city there, have an excellent run-in, but good options are obviously going to be difficult to come by. United have Bournemouth away, Sheffield United at home, Burnley at home in the next three. And I don't know, somehow they all look like potential banana skins at the moment. But yeah, United's showing signs of life. Defensively got quite a lot of injuries to contend with. So, but again, there aren't many options, particularly from their attackers. They've all been pretty much mopped up for most of the season. Sheffield United, a team who I've largely ignored this year and usually just talked about with disdain, but I have to admit they're scoring goals, they're starting to avoid defeat, means, you know, they'll probably go down, but at least with a little bit of dignity intact. Do I think we can consider any of their attacking players now? Begrudgingly, yes, and I'll mention a couple of them very shortly. Spurs, I think it definitely could be time to drop a lot of Spurs players. A lot of us will have Spurs players sat in our teams, especially in smaller leagues where, you know, alternatives are more readily available in the waivers. They've got Newcastle away this weekend, then a blank, then a double of Arsenal and Chelsea. Not the best by any means. Following that, they've got games against Liverpool and City. So, you know, as fixtures go, as bad as you could get, really. Son is obviously fixture-proof and can score at any time, but the rest, if you were tempted to drop them, it would be hard to really convince you not to. Porro is maybe a keep for his attacking potential, seeing as clean sheets are hardly easy to find anywhere in the league at the moment. Brennan Johnson may be someone you're willing to stick with due to his form over the last couple of months. but the rest, I think, really could be heading back to the waiver pile. Now, finally, Wolves, they, I think, will be popular again, but having already had Burnley away and West Ham at home in the last couple of weeks, most of their popular pickups will have already gone in the majority of engaged leagues. We'll discuss a couple anyway in the main segments. They've got Forest away, then a home double of Arsenal and Bournemouth, followed by Luton in Game Week 35. So, you know, Wolves' form has stumbled a bit in recent months. They've had a lot of injuries, particularly in their attacking ranks. But I think they'll still be eyeing a top half finish, and there are enough winnable games left for them on the fixture sheet for them to really have a good go at that. In terms of key injuries, Jarrod Bowen's possibly the most notable one. Still slightly vague on the length of time and the exact nature of the injury, but it sounds like a minimum of 2 weeks. Obviously, they'll be keen to get him back as soon as they can do. But if it sounds like he's going to be out for any longer than that, depending on the situation in your league, if you're chasing positions and points, he could be someone that we have to let go. Into the main picks, let's start with a goalkeeper. And the one I'm going to highlight here, slightly unusual possibly, is Verbruggen for Brighton. We've had two or three false dawns this season, you know, in terms of thinking that one of those two, between him and Steele, have nailed down the starting number one spot. After four starts on the bounce and a couple of clean sheets in that time, is this as good as we can assume for a starting keeper for Brighton? You know, given that they are playing Burnley this week, I think if he was free, I consider making a move for him, particularly if you've got a pretty naff second keeper. You know, because if he doesn't start and you've got someone to come off the bench, fine. And I think it's as good a chance as a clean sheet as anyone. Which brings me straight on to the Brighton defence, really. As I said, for a one-week punt, two clean sheets in the last four, trip to Burnley. You are booking in another waiver next week because they face Manchester City, but still, I think they'll be appealing to enough. Duncan Estupinan ownership really high. The most safe, nailed and available pick is Van Hecker. His ownership just 13% in 10-team leagues. Lamptey and Veltman are also very much available and in hidden gem territory, but can't rely on them starting. I do have Lamptey currently penciled into my predicted lineup, but when it comes to Brighton, that means absolutely nothing. The Palace defence, similarly to Brighton, really, two very high owned assets in Anderson and Tyreek Mitchell. Other than that, though, there are other ways in. Ward is probably the most boring way in. I think the most exciting way in is Munoz. He is definitely the dark horse here. Just a smidge outside hidden gem territory on 11% ownership for 10-team leagues. Very attacking, gets into some very threatening positions when Palace are on the front foot. And I'll say this much, I've already got him penciled in as a potential waiver in my main draft league. For Everton, I'd have any one of their sort of three real nailed on starting defenders, Tarkowski, Brathwaite and Mikulenko, all on my radar this week. I think if you wait for next week, it could be too late. Tarkowski would be my preferred choice of them all due to his set-piece threat. He's also accumulated expecting goal involvement this season of around five, and so far only has one goal and one assist to show for it, so you could argue he's due something soon. And the final defence to cover in general are Wolves. The main issue here really is the fitness of Ryan Aitnori, who was actually deployed in the number 10 role in their last game, won their penalty to give himself an FPL assist. If he's fit, he'll play, and there's a chance it could be an attack again, but he's still dangerous even just coming from his more conventional left wing back spot. We'll have to wait for news in press conference, but even if he is good to go, he's not going to be easy to get your hands on, as his ownership has absolutely shot up in recent weeks. From a season low of about 1.6% ownership a couple of months ago, it's now right up to 70% in 10-team leagues. So yeah, he will be difficult to get, but if he was there and he was confirmed as fit, definitely one to put near the top of the waiver list. Whether he gets deployed in the sort of number 10 role or number 8 role, depending on what you call it, will largely depend on the fitness of some of their other attackers. Huang is close. Cunha should be in line to start his first game back from injury, having come on as a substitute. But yeah, they can play him there because they've got the luxury of having Matt Doherty to slot in on the left side. For those who don't have the luxury of being able to pick up Aitnori, if he's already taken, Semedo and Totti are going to be your easiest ways in. Dawson still isn't fit enough to start. Then Hugo Bueno is a very easy way in. He's way down in hidden gem territory, but I don't currently have him penciled into my predicted starting 11. And for those in larger leagues just looking for a Wolves option in midfield, Mario Lemina is a trusty but very unexciting option who has four goals so far this season, who you might consider, but I'd probably be looking elsewhere. The final defender to talk about, wrap up the defenders, is Rico Lewis from Manchester City. His ownership is moderate. He's 31% owned in 10 team leagues, but it means in over two thirds he is available. He started the last two league games in the absence of Walker, and also with the added need for Manchester City to rest and protect some of their other centre backs. That's why he's had to come in. Luton at home at the weekend means we should see some rotation from the team, certainly the 11 that played in Madrid on Tuesday night. I think a start for Lewis again is an absolute no-brainer. He scored his second of the season in their last game, and I think we're probably more interested in him popping up with an attacking return than we are a clean sheet, realistically. But even having said that, as potential clean sheets go, City at home to Luton should be about as good as it gets, but say that doesn't mean much this season. Luton do have a very annoying knack of scoring goals though, but yeah, I think Rico Lewis should be popular, and one that I'm reasonably confident will get rotated in again to their starting 11. Speaking of rotation, brings us nicely on to Arsenal, because I think rotation is definitely going to be required from them over the coming weeks, and particularly this weekend, sandwiched right between the two legs of their Bayern Munich tie. I think ultimately how much success they end up having, and it goes for the rest of the title contenders too, really is going to come down to how well they can manage their squad and how well they can rotate while still maintaining results. Now, I'm going to bring in Trossard at this point. 77% owned in 10-team leagues, so it is very high, but there's still going to be a handful of leagues out there where he is free. He's seen enough game time over recent weeks to suggest that he should continue to see minutes in the league. Even when he's rotated, he usually comes off the bench and is certainly the sort of player to play sort of one of the two games in their double game week, for example. Non-penalty expected goal involvements per 90 of 0.75 is right up there among the best players in the league to have played at least 10 games this season. And so I think a start plus a sub appearance would usually see him get a return, which is, you know, hardly surprising given the number of goals Arsenal have scored. I'm not entirely sure what the situation is with Martinelli. He obviously started against Madrid, so I've not really been clear recently whether he's just been dropped or if he hasn't been 100% fit. Say, the fact that Martinelli started that game in Madrid, I think, opens the door wider for Trossard. And I think he's certainly very close to Martinelli as being the kind of fourth man after Saka, Jesus and Kai Havertz. A couple of less glamorous midfielder picks now, starting with McNeil. Obviously talked about Everton's fixtures already. Starts with a trip to Chelsea this week, which shouldn't put us off their attackers. Then followed by three home games in a row against Forest, Liverpool and Brentford. I think if Everton can get between 4 and 6 points from those games, probably should allow them to safely plan for another season in the Premier League. They've then got games against Luton and Sheffield United after, just to solidify things. So, as I said, any Everton players that you decide to bring in could be here to stay for a good month or more. McNeil is probably the most reliable starter. He's nothing flashy, but it's hard to see him getting through the next few weeks without at least one return, maybe two. Ownership's just 25% in 10-team leagues, so decent availability. Final midfielder from the main section is Brereton Diaz, Sheffield United. He has played just over the equivalent of five full matches so far and has five attacking returns, four goals and one assist. They've got an away game at Brentford, then have Burnley at home in the first game in a double with a trip to United afterwards. It's that time of the season where you can start to free up more spaces in your team, take more punts, drop those players who you wouldn't have dreamt of dropping a few months ago. And, you know, also kind of situation dependent. If you're mid-table and you've kind of got half a chance at getting up towards the top of the league, then you do need to start shaking things up a little bit. I'm sure Diaz will be popular in the waivers this week with a view to probably a two-game week hold through to their double as well. Ownership is 20% in 10-team league, so he is available in the vast majority. And as I said, I can see his ownership going from around 20% up to 40 or 50% on the waivers this week. So yeah, I think he'll be a popular one. Into some striking options, and let's go straight to his teammate, Ollie McBurnie. His ownership is just 13% in 10-team leagues. He has three attacking returns in his last two league starts. As I said, form of fixtures means that I think McBurnie has to be slotting into someone's draft team. Even if you're in eight-team leagues, I think for the next couple of weeks, he's good enough to be in your top 24 strikers, there just aren't enough remaining weeks now to, you know, justify holding some of the other underperforming forwards that we've all been holding on to. And I'd rather have McBurnie for a couple of weeks than a lot of those. For Bournemouth, a player we've mentioned quite a lot on the pod this year is Semenyo. We'll have to wait and see what the injury news is during the midweek press conferences. But if he's available in your waivers, I'd have him penciled in. Tavernier has picked up what sounds like a decent hamstring injury to rule him out for a few weeks, possibly right towards the end of the season, which is not much of a surprise as he's one of the few players that wasn't rotated during the tight turnaround last week. Sinisterra is also out for a while, so attacking options generally are limited for Bournemouth. And yeah, one of my own favourites, Dango Uatara, I'll cover in a minute in the hidden gem section. Mateta we mentioned last week. Now, I kind of said that, you know, it's probably worth picking him up early, even with the game against City. And sure enough, he goes and starts and takes a very good finish for the opening goal. I said his ownership again has rocketed in the last few weeks, but if he was there, he is someone I would have right near the top. Given Crystal Palace's fixtures and his own personal form, yeah, he's definitely hot property. Final striker is Antonio for West Ham. I think with Bowen out, his path to the starting lineup is much more secure. He can even fill in on the right-hand side if they decide to go that way. Fixtures are up and down. No double in 34. His personal form hasn't been brilliant, but what he will be, though, is a starting striker. And in leagues of sort of 10-plus, probably should be picked up in somebody's team. Quick look through the hidden gems. Quantsa for Liverpool remains firmly in hidden gem territory with just 5% ownership in 10-team leagues. He's now started 6 of Liverpool's last 8 games in all competitions. If he starts their European tie against Atalanta, that I think would probably usher in a start for Konate in the league at the weekend. But if Konate plays on Thursday night, then I think Quansah has to be a consideration again, and I will have him in my predicted 11. Also have to consider that Alexander-Arnold and Alisson are close to returns, which will potentially mean he finds himself right back in the middle of a very rock-solid defence. So yeah, I think ownership 5% is far too low for him at the moment. Another player we've mentioned in recent weeks is Badiashile for Chelsea. His ownership went up 14% in top 100 leagues, but in the general population, he is still a hidden gem. And I think well worth a pickup for a Chelsea defender, but I wouldn't double up. So if you've already got a Gusto, Cucurella, Chilwell, someone else you're holding on to, then I wouldn't bother. In midfield, as I just said, Uatara, I'm a big fan of. You've heard me talk about him before. I think there's lots of potential there. And given the state of the injuries, say the slight chance that Semenyo could be out too, I think he should be in line for a start. And then finally is Gustavo Hamer for Sheffield United, who I don't think I've ever mentioned on the pod before. He has been one that stands out when I've watched Sheffield United. He had a little purple patch, I think, earlier on in the season. I don't have his stats in front of me. Ownership is just 3% in 10-team leagues. Second highest in terms of cumulative expected goal involvements for Sheffield United. An attacking return in 4 consecutive games now means I don't think we can really overlook him. He pretty much starts every game when he's fit, and he tends to be always fit, and is now Sheffield United's highest scoring FPL points player with 85 points, which is obviously not a massive tally, but it puts him ahead of the likes of McBurnie and Brett and Diaz, obviously only joined in January. But yeah, I think if you like the look of Sheffield United, you like the look of their fixtures, Hamer is definitely one to consider if you can't get your hands on one of the other two guys that I've mentioned before. On to the most hidden gem pick. And I'm actually, for once, quite excited about this most hidden gem pick. You know, I usually list these players off half apologetically, you know, as if I'm forced to do this. But for those that don't know, the most hidden gem pick is a player available in the vast majority of 16-team leagues. So, it's, you know, we're tending to scrape the barrel here. If they're generally well available in 16-team leagues, they're definitely available in your 8-team, 10-team, 12-team, 6-team, whatever league size that you're in. And the player I'm going to highlight is Oscar Bob for Manchester City. So in 16-team leagues, his ownership is just 2.6%. So near universal availability across all league sizes. And I said, this is a most hidden gem pick that I'd actually advocate everyone considering for this week. Got a full 90 minutes last game for the first time this season in the league. And with a few of the other City midfielders needing rest, Foden maybe picking up a slight injury against Madrid, this feels like another perfect game for Bob to come in and do a job against what remains a bit of a makeshift defence for Luton. You know, Luton will probably have to deploy a right-sided defensive pairing of Hashioka, possibly Onyedinma as on the right wing. So should provide some opportunities for whoever lines up on the left for City. He's got just 276 league minutes so far this season, so about three games worth, and he's got three attacking returns. So it means he's getting one pretty much every full 90 he's on the pitch. So another start, and we should expect him to get another return in a game in which Man City could pop off, regardless of which 11 that they play. On the get rid list, Douglas Luiz, I think, has to be on the get rid list now. Two game ban, and they're not great fixtures. The other one, just to mention at random, is Raheem Sterling. He's only started one in the last five league games. A good outing for Noni Madeke at the weekend, and I've currently got him penciled in to start again this weekend. So yeah, I don't think the value that the majority of owners have in Sterling at the moment can be rewarded, and yeah, he probably needs to be dropped at this stage. Having said that, you know, this is the classic time when he'll go and start and score a couple of goals and win a penalty. But yeah, I think on the face of it, one start in five is we really have to start thinking about getting rid. Quickly, a little trade talk to mention. I've got a question from one of the listeners, Joe. Nice straightforward one for a change. Here's Garnacho for his fellow managers, Jota. Now, I think as much as I like Jota, and you've heard me mention him a few times over the past month or so, you know, plotting his return, I think I'm heavily in favour of hanging on to Garnacho here. He's guaranteed to start in decent form, and United have some very appealing fixtures coming up. If the deal could be sweetened somehow, if someone else could get thrown into the mix, it probably wouldn't take much to tip it the other way. But for now, in a straight one-for-one, I'd rather keep Garnacho. So allow me to quickly have a chat through some of my predicted lineup dilemmas for this week. Now, obviously recording this on Wednesday evening, so I've had the Arsenal and City games yesterday. Still got a lot of the other English clubs to go in their European ties tomorrow. So I expect a lot of tinkering, probably late tomorrow, late Thursday night and Friday morning too. So obviously keep an eye on these right up to the waiver deadline. I'll continue to play with the teams based on whatever news comes out or whatever I feel in my gut. So as I said at the beginning, currently for my Arsenal predicted 11, I've got a number of the rotation options kind of penciled in there. I'm reasonably sure that Zinchenko will play, and I think it could be time for Ben White to have a rest and bring Tomiyasu in. And then in the sort of front six, got Thomas Partey, Smith Rowe, Trossard, and Reece Nelson all slotted in there too. So that could be one too many changes. He may want Declan Rice in there for some stability against Villa. It may be a game that Martinelli plays again. I don't know. Havertz, of course, has been playing a lot of games too. But for now, that's where I'm going to leave it. Villa, the only main question is who comes in for Douglas Luiz. There is one way of them sort of keeping the team largely. I think the back four will remain the same. Bailey, I think, will carry on the right. It's whether or not they're happy to stay with a sitting midfield of McGinn and Tielemans. I think away at Arsenal, that's probably not beefy enough because they could have just put Diaby in alongside Watkins and had Bailey, McGinn, Tielemans and Rodgers in midfield. But as I said, I don't think that's beefy enough, so I've got Orubunum to come in and sit as a CDM and a direct like-for-like replacement for Douglas Luiz. Bournemouth, not much to really talk about for them. Brentford, I think, are going to be quite straightforward. I've got Pinnock penciled in for a return at the moment because I think he will come back in as soon as he is fit, and with a home game against Sheffield United, Brentford should really be looking to you know, get 3 points there and just give themselves some breathing room from the relegation scrap. Brighton are obviously always a difficult one to predict. They don't have Europe anymore. Not a huge amount left to fight for in the league. It's whether or not they feel they can clamber back up and solidify a European spot for next season. There's no reason why they shouldn't aim for that, but their form has been all over the shop. Looking at this 11 I've got currently, this doesn't look quite right to me, but it's so difficult to predict who's going to come in. There's no rhyme or reason to it either. With Ferguson out, I think Welbeck's pretty nailed to start. I think Adingra is nailed to start. Gross is nailed to start. Duncan Van Hecker are. All the rest could be absolutely anybody's guess. For Burnley, really the only thing to consider is at the back. I think Del Cruyff will come in for O'Shea, but you're probably not interested in any of their defenders. Chelsea, as I just said, I've got Madueke currently penciled in to carry on starting in their front line. For Palace, I still haven't got Elise into that starting 11. Again, they've got a trip to Anfield to think about. And I just think Jordan Ayew gives you a lot more out of possession than Michael Elise does. So I'm expecting Elise probably to come off the bench again. Yeah, in a reasonably stable starting 11. Everton, not much change. Fulham, not much change. Liverpool, wait and see how they do in Europe. Luton, obviously, having to make a bit of a change because Kabore is a Manchester City player, so he can't play. Ogbene is the other one that came in the last time they played City and he couldn't feature. Obviously, we've seen Ogbene quite a lot on the right wing this season. He's injured, so that's why at the moment I've got Onyedinma on the right-hand side there, in which, as I said, not many pegs to put in the holes for Luton, so we can reliably predict a lot of the rest, but we're not really going to be interested in Luton this week. City, there is again a bit of a sketch of what I think their lineup will look like with a number of rotations. Got Rico Lewis in there, got Kovacic in there, Matheus Nunes in there, Doku, Alvarez and Bob in the front lines, so I'm expecting possible rest for Haaland, Foden, Bernardo Silva, Rodri. Yeah, I'd be surprised if they started, particularly just given the nature of this fixture, which is a home game against Luton. City should be able to pretty much change that entire 11 and come away with a good result. For United, I've put Kambuala in at centre-back again because there's no real firm news on who's fit among the rest of them. For Newcastle, again, not too many pegs to put in round holes there. I've gone for Barnes to actually start this game. I'm not quite sure why he didn't start the last one in an otherwise unchanged 11. Forest, I don't expect much change. Sheffield United, I don't expect much change. Same with Spurs. West Ham, the only one will be Bowen out, and I'm expecting Moyes to go fairly boring and just slot in an extra midfielder. So I've currently got Alvarez, Suchek and Ward-Prowse as a three, with Paqueta and Kudus probably playing narrow in behind Antonio. And then finally for Wolves, I'm guessing Dawson will come back in so long as he's fit. Currently got eight Nori pending any other news, starting at left wing back with a midfield three of João Gomes, Doyle and Lamina. Doyle's playing really well lately, by the way. He's not really one, unfortunately, we can consider much for draft, but yeah, really liking, he's passing the eye test for me in that central midfield spot. And then expecting Cunha to finally make a returning start from his injury. So yeah, that's where I'm at with the predicted lineups, but keep an eye out on those because I will keep fiddling with them right up until the waiver deadline. So that's it for this episode. A reminder that the waiver deadline will be on Friday morning. That's Friday the 12th at 11 a.m. UK time, ahead of the Game Week 33 waivers. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, thank you for lending me your ears. Hopefully you've got this far because you are an interested and engaged draft manager. And if that is the case, then I'd strongly encourage you to follow or subscribe on whichever podcast platform you listen to so you don't miss out on any of the future episodes as they drop each week. And if you are a dedicated and very interested draft manager, then I would urge you, if you haven't already, to head over to draftfc.co.uk and check out what we have on offer there. If you've never signed up before, you can with a 1 month free trial just using the code DRAFTFCPOD, all one word and capitalized, should be coming along across the screen now for those watching. DRAFTFCPOD, it's also in the description below and you can get access straight to the site from there too. We've got all sorts on there. It's been quite a long episode so far, so I won't go through all the features we've got on there, but you've got a month to play around for free and find some things that I'm sure will be of help to you. The other thing is, if you ever need to reach out, if you want to ask me a question, run through some moves or lineup dilemmas for your own draft team, then I'm always happy to chat. The easiest way is probably on X. If you give us a follow at @draft_FC, that's probably the inbox that I monitor the most because I get notified whenever a message comes through and can usually respond within 24 hours. Thursdays are the best days to message me. That's usually when I can message back quite quickly. It's also another avenue, if you do use that quite regularly, to stay up to date with all the comings and goings at Draft FC. So without further ado, best of luck ahead of the waivers this week. Hope you get all the players you need. Do keep one eye on the double gaming fixtures for next weekend. And as always, stay sure.